and welcome to A Link to the Cast and, well, what's becoming the UK's most essential video games podcast. This is episode 8 and it's bigger and better than ever. We've got a fantastic interview in A Link to the Cast this episode. You will not quite believe who we've managed to get unless you're following us maybe on Twitter, in which case we've already told you. In fact, I'll tell you now, it's Charles Martinet. If you're wondering who's Charles Martinet, I'll tell you. He is the one and only voice of Super Mario. The guy who does all the voices in all the games talks exclusively to A Link to the Cast just in the next 10 minutes or so. So stay tuned for that. It's absolutely fantastic news for us. Charles Martinet joining us on A Link to the Cast. Also, Ricardo will have a review of Band Hero. I'll review a top new DS title, but which one will it be? And Brian Shell's taking a look at a Mario title, actually. Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story. We'll also take a look at the big stories happening in the world of video games right now, but first let's reacquaint ourselves with the team. I'm Mick, I take a look at all things Nintendo. There's Ricardo, our PS3 man. Hello, sir.
Ho-ho! Hello! How are you all doing?
Was that your sort of Mario attempt?
That was the worst one I've done all afternoon, to be honest, but hey, we'll keep it.
You've been practicing that one. Brian Shelf, can you match that in any way, shape or form?
Woo-hoo! It's me, Brian.
No.
my Pikachu is much stronger.
Go on. Sir.
Pikachu.
I see, that's better.
It was very much like a sneeze or something like that. Brian's our man who's taking a look at all things Xbox 360, but for this episode, he's taking a look at a Nintendo DS title. Any reason in particular, Brian?
I just span the genres.
Do you define them as well?
Do I? Yeah, very much so. No, it's because that's the only new game I've played recently. Although I've just been given a copy of Tekken 6 to play. So
I'm a bit angry about that. I really want to play it, but hey, you got it. You should love it. Okay. If you know a good fighter, that's going to be awesome.
Excellent.
You guys like a fight. So Charles Martinet is going to be with us in the next 10 minutes. If that's not big enough for you, we've also got Laszlo. Laszlo Jones is going to be joining us on the next episode of A Link to the Cast, certainly the next full episode. He's going to be talking about new downloadable content, the third in the trilogy for Grand Theft Auto 4. All very exciting. That's going to be coming to next episode of A Link to the Cast. But for this episode of A Link to the Cast, Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm very excited about this. I'm here. I'm Mick. Rick's here, so is Brian Shelf. Let's do the news. Oh, but first, you might say, what's happened to the headline competition? Oh, well, you might think that we've dropped it, but no, we haven't. In fact, what I've done is I've contrived to make this the most tedious one yet.
Tough competition.
Yeah,
there,
exactly. Yeah. Just to make things even worse and more annoying for Brian and Rick. So, would you like to hear the story which you have to make a headline from?
Yeah, go on.
If we have to.
So it's you have to imagine this is a situation or scenario which has occurred from the video games world. And if it were to happen in real life, what would the mirror or the star run with as its front page? Are you ready?
Yep.
The joint in the middle of your leg gets its own health and well-being title.
I've got it immediately.
Right, okay, well, don't say anything. Okay, so the joint in the middle of your leg gets its own health and well-being title. So all you have to do is think of maybe a headline. It's a bit of a pun, basically, related to video games. So we'll focus on that a little bit later in the show. Get the thinking caps in gear, though. We will be back with it very shortly. By the way, I normally ask each member of the team a little story, just to maybe find out a little bit more about them. I tend to ask them sort of quite a personal question, but I want to ask a really straightforward question this time round. Which Mario Kart player are you?
Which Mario Kart player am I?
I don't mean which one do you pick. I mean, which one would you be in real life related to how you drive?
that's a good question. Related to how I drive. You know which one I pick, Mick, and it's caused many pointing and laughing at me because I pick Funky Kong.
Well, it's Funky Kong.
Yeah, well, I'm not Funky Kong in real life. Who do I drive? I probably drive more like Peach.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Well, I think I between two. I think it depends what Rick shows up, really. Depends what Rick gets in the driver's seat. Every now and then you have a bit of Bowser rage and you just want to own the roads. But yeah, more often than not, I think I'd probably just be a safe little Luigi maybe or something. Just sort of trundling along, got to get to A to B. But every now and then, you know what I'm like. I get a bit angry.
Yeah. I think, yeah. You see, I was going to say
road
Luigi
rage.
Because I'm sort of quite boring in terms of being a driver.
Yeah, exactly. The guy you don't really notice so much, it just gets on with it.
Yeah, and I accelerate very, very slowly. So I'm
that's more through mechanical necessity than actual choice of you as a driver, though, Mick, isn't it? Yeah, both you and me don't drive the most powerful cars.
This is very true. Let's reveal our number plate so people can stop us in the streets and maybe check. Yeah. Let's not.
Mine is S-E-X-1-Y.
It's true, that, actually.
Yeah.
Let's do the news! Okay, you're listening to A Link to the Cast. Going to take a look at some of the stories making waves in the world of video games at the moment. I'm going to touch on a story which is about a game that's not really a game. It's a lifestyle choice. The game is Wii Fit Plus, which is, it goes on sale later this week, depending on when you're listening to this. So it's certainly going to be around in time for Christmas. And the NHS is said to be giving the Wii Fit Plus the Change for Life logo. So the Change for Life, which is the thing that you'll see on maybe the start of The Simpsons at the moment, apparently that logo is going to go on the Wii Fit Plus game so that people can see that it's fit and healthy and essentially comes with a government backing. Is there anything less sexy in a video game than a government backing?
Do you know, given most people's experience with Wii Fit or the Wii in general, will it be Change for Life or will it be Change for 4 weeks and then I flogged it on eBay?
And do you really, well, I know you stuck with the original Wii Fit for quite a while, Mick, but following on what Brian's saying, do you really think people are going to lose a lot of weight or get tremendously fit from this?
Well,
I've got a Nintendo quote
here. If you were worried about your bingo wings or your flabby bum, your flabby bum? The game will give you specific exercises to target those areas. I think Wii Fit Plus, what it's realised that a lot of people wanted to do with Wii Fit and couldn't do, was you can actually set yourself like a half an hour workout routine, whereas on Wii Fit, what you would do essentially was just pick enough
stuff
exercises
to
make
time.
Up half an hour, whereas actually you get the full half an hour thing. So apparently, it's going to come from with a Department of Health sort of like... commendation, which is a bit naff, isn't it?
I know the new Wii Fit Plus does have a little targeted regime thing, so you can say specifically you want to work out your arms more and it will build those workouts around
that. Did you say arms there?
Checking. Not sitting on the balance board or anything like that, doing your, I don't know, I've forgotten it now.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Carry on.
Okay, interesting news about a possible GoldenEye 2010. I say interesting. Apparently, a chap put his CV online, and as part of one of his jobs, apparently, he claimed that he was working as an animator for GoldenEye 2010, brackets Wii. Now, do we then take from that's somebody who is very clever and realises what Nintendo gamers and gamers in general are looking for online and will get very excited about it and will know his name? Or do we take it that actually that there's going to be a new GoldenEye title coming soon, 2010? Surely we would have heard about it by now.
Well, you would have done, and I'm always a bit suspicious of people's CVs, because there was a guy here who did work experience. I'm not going to name him, but bless him. He was really, really helpful at kind of doing things, but he was never particularly great at the job. And you just
did he make a nice cup of tea?
Yeah, I wouldn't let him near the kettle. Just
okay.
Health and safety. Yeah. But we'll look through his CV, and he claimed to have assisted, now I can't remember which Hollywood director it was, but on the film, and it was like, you never did. I think the only way you could have assisted him is you might have been stood in Cornwall, say, one day when he was filming there and he drove past and asked for directions. That's the only assistance you ever gave him. So I'm not doubting this bloke on the internet. Well, I am doubting this bloke on the internet.
I think we all are, to be honest.
You've always got to take CVs with a little bit of a pinch of salt.
And it's exactly like you said, Mick. People want to hear GoldenEye in games again, but I'm not so sure I want to actually see it. So
apparently he's into keyframe animation, the preparation and cleanup of motion captured data, prop animation, in-game cutscene animation, scene layout, and camera animation. I'd give this guy a job.
But it all sounds like good stuff, but whether or not it's actually useful these days, I have no idea, to be honest. So, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to throw two stories your way. One's related to the Xbox 360, one related to the PlayStation 3. Xbox 360 owners in the UK and Ireland can now watch on-demand programmes on up to 24-hour live streaming channels provided by Sky. That's happening this month on Xbox 360. And on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 3 owners will soon be able to stream movies and TV shows from Netflix via the PlayStation 3, just as Xbox 360 owners have been doing for a year. Brian Shelf, do you utilise any of this functionality on your consoles?
No, unfortunately. Never really do.
you can stream like high def videos and, you know, actual films straight through your 360. I've got a couple of friends who have used it and they say great things, but yeah, I'm not even sure if I could be bothered, to be honest. It must take so long to download for our broadband these days before you can even watch it.
My broadband's ludicrously slow. And anyway, the other thing is, to be honest, I don't want to be watching a film with the constant of the Xbox 360 all the way through in the background, because it's a noisy machine. Mm.
Yes. I mean, I've got the iPlayer on the PS3. That's a little app that they kind of threw in there a couple of months back. And I've watched a few things on it, and it's kind of cool. But, you know, if it's live streaming of stuff, then it's, you know, it's instant, isn't it? But I don't think that's how it works with the films. Like I say, I've never tried it, but I can't imagine any of our broadband is going to be able to supply HD film content in live streaming formats. So I don't know. Would you really order a film, go off, make your dinner, and then come back and hope that it's downloaded enough to start watching it?
Let's talk money. Apparently a Netflix subscription starts at $9. That seems quite cheap to me. But the £15 a month will be the figure on the 360 for Sky. So £15 a month, you're getting close there to the amount of money you would be paying to get a regular service anyway, presuming that you're already paying for broadband, etc. as well.
Yeah, but I mean, streaming, it's just so... you know, so bandwidth intensive that, you know, you're either going to get your bandwidth clamped down on for downloading too much stuff, or you're going to have to sign up to one of their ludicrous, you know, high bandwidth packages. And so, you know, the cost's going to add up. I don't know. I don't know. It just seems...
I don't like the idea of, like, setting your console aside for a few hours to download a film. It kind of restricts what you then can do with it. Like, I wouldn't be able to play Call of Duty or play Guitar Hero online with some friends or whatever. And then it kind of renders the single most important use of that box completely redundant.
I'm a great believer, and I cannot understand why this seems to be the drive from everyone at the moment to make consoles multifunctional. Because pretty much everything I've got in my house is multifunctional, and I only tend to use it for the one function I bought it for in the first place.
Well, you know the new PlayStation 3 slogan?
What's that?
It only does everything. That's actually what it is.
That is what it kind of infers to, yeah. I can't remember the actual wording. What is it? No, the game is just the start or something?
No, I'm telling you what it is. It only does everything. That's actually
really?
The slogan. Yeah,
because I know they've only rolled out when Uncharted 2 has come released. They put a new slogan on it, and the game is just the start. I thought that was going to be the new PS3 line, but really, it only does everything.
It only blooming goes and does everything.
Yeah, God, blooming.
Yeah, presumably, like everything that does a bit of everything, it does everything to a mediocre standard.
Yeah,
but there you go. Now, I just don't get why they're trying. Why, as well, when they can see Nintendo are being so successful by pretty much being a dedicated games console. There's online content, but it's all pretty much little mini videos advertising games, and you know, it's all about the game. Why they seem to be
going in
another
reason that they can maybe justify the expense of it, because they're still expensive.
That's true.
And I'm going to end with some hilarious news. No, it's not hilarious news. Bonkers news, people would say. No, Brian Chubbs, what was your favorite American? Let me get this right. What's your favorite American TV show related to fishing?
Related to fishing? Are you doing some joke along the wire?
No. That's a good joke, though.
That's The Line, I would have thought. More
the Line!
Better than this conversation we've got.
Yeah, what my favourite TV show related to fishing? I don't know. What was it?
The Deadliest Catch!
Oh, The Deadliest Catch! Yeah, of course! Yeah, The Deadliest Catch, the single best programme about counting the number of crabs you've caught that week.
Well, could you imagine doing television? That with a Nintendo Wiimote?
whoa. First off, is this even real?
No, Discovery Communication is partnering with game publisher Crave to turn two of its top-rated series, Man vs. Wild and Deadliest Catch, into video games. Deadliest launches in the spring. Wild will be out before the end of 2011. Apparently, it was previously adapted into an Xbox 360 game, but the publishers pledged that version will be more action-orientated and accessible. So it's all going to be related about, crab boats, navigating the Bering Sea, collecting fishing pots, dealing with the danger of open waters, while generating profits. The Deadliest Catch is actually going to be a video game.
Oh, yeah, that do you know, I would probably buy that. But like I say, the program, I don't know why.
Probably would buy that.
I don't know why the program, because it essentially consisted of people sailing somewhere, dropping some baskets, half an hour later pulling them back up again and counting the number of crabs in them. But it was the single most addictive programme on a Sunday. I was gutted when it got cancelled on a Sunday afternoon on Channel 4. But there you go. Because it was the kind of programme that you can watch. I'm not the most manliest of men. I think we're all aware of that.
Yeah, we are. We're very much.
But, But they were real men on that show. There was a severe chance that in counting those crabs, they were going to die. About four of them die every series. It was just unbelievable. But it was an amazing, amazing show.
So Ice Road Truckers, the game, coming soon.
Now,
would that make it, you know, they're real men?
I think that would be a good game, that Ice Road Truckers.
It was no deadliest catch.
Oh, my God.
It's like, you quite like Trawler Men, though. You quite like Trawler Men, though, don't you, Mick?
Yeah, but Trawler Men is like the Scottish version. But the thing with Trawlermen is that they're all Scottish, so that essentially they're all speaking the English language, but the whole thing has to be done with subtitles because you can't tell what they're saying. I think that could be like an app on a DS that you type. You maybe hold up your DS to the TV while Trawlermen's on, and then it translates for you to save the need for subtitles on TV.
Nice. What about monster moves, moving people's houses and entire towns?
I'm sure that must have been done already. Monster moves, has that been done as a video game?
I've no idea.
Bit like, well, kind of in reverse, Blast Core. That was all about demolishing entire towns on the N64.
How far can this go? It's ridiculous. Yeah.
What's the worst TV program that could be turned into a game?
Yeah. I've got a friend who watches, who swears by it. That cakes program, what is it? Making ridiculous cakes.
Oh, no, I know this.
Lord of the Cakes. No, it's got pun in it,
it's called
it?
Glamour Puds.
Glamour Puds.
Glamour Puds.
It's a good title, but it wasn't the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, Glamour Puds.
It's good, but it's not right. Yeah.
Glamour Puds. I think that's something you've caught on the
Ace
Babe
of
Station
cakes,
channel.
That was it.
Ace of Cakes. That was it.
They put fireworks in their cakes and everything, but it's just still, I don't get it. I don't get any of this.
I think you could do that. That would be, actually, TV. Brian, you've just inspired me. My game would be...
Icing Star?
No. I was going to suggest like a Babe Station game. Yeah. What you do is you hold the Wiimote up to your ear and you sort of look at the camera and you jiggle about a bit, lying around on a bed with some really bad fake tan.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's a great thing.
And go,
call me.
That's horrifying as a concept. I mean, just absolutely disastrous.
Okay, are we done with the news?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant stuff. Charles Martinet is on standby. He's going to be with us literally in the next 2 minutes. Still to come, though, we're going to be talking reviews as well. I'm going to be looking at, I'm not going to tell you yet. Rick's going to be looking at Band Hero, and Brian Shell's going to be looking at Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. That's all to come on the link to the cast. Go on, what?
Have you set us some sort of puzzle there, Mick, about what you're reviewing? Is there some sort of mysterious puzzle?
Yeah, he's giving it away. It's Professor Layton. I've now got the very, very special guest, and he's here to talk about the new Super Mario Brothers Wii edition of New Super Mario Brothers, which many people would have played on the S. He is none other than the voice of Super Mario. It's Charles Martinet. Charles, welcome to A Link to the Cast.
Hello, thank you very much. It's me, Mario. Woohoo!
That's there just to go and prove that actually, Charles, yes, he is the voice who for many years now has played the role of Super Mario. Charles, how did you get into it?
Oh, it's terrifically. I was so lucky. I crashed an audition 20 years ago. A friend of mine said, "You've got to go to this audition. It's to play a plumber or something like that in a trade show." And I said, "Oh, I can never crash an audition. I never do that sort of thing." And I sat there going, "Okay, I'm going to go crash this audition." And I walked in the door. The producer had already put the camera away. And I said, "Can I just read for this?" And he looked at his watch and he said, "Oh, all right. You're an Italian plumber from Brooklyn. We're going to do this real live animation thing. We don't even know if it's going to work, but you're going to have these stuffed things glued to your face. And when you move your face, the cartoon character is supposed to move his face. So, you know, make up a video game, start talking. You'll be talking to kids all day long and people of all ages. So we don't know whether it's going to work or not. But in any case, you got to talk. So just start talking. And whenever you finish talking, that's it. So make up an accent, make up a voice, and just go. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, while he's putting the camera together, I'm thinking, okay, Italian plumber from Brooklyn, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm under your sink, don't bother me. You know, no, that's too gruff, and maybe it should be nicer. And video games, I think I had played Pong and Space Invaders, you know, and Tank. So a video game, a voice, how do you, and all of a sudden I hear action, and I'm like, hello, well, I'm a Mario. Okie dokie, let's make a pizza pie together. You go get some sausage, I'm going to get some spaghetti. We put spaghetti and sausage in the pizza, and anyway, I'm going to chase you with the pizza. Then you chase me with the pizza. Then we're going to make a lasagna. And I don't know what I said, but I kept talking for a half an hour or more until the tape ran out. And the director said, cut, stop, the tape's out. Thank you. We'll be in touch. Which I figured was the kiss of death for any actor. But sure enough, he got on the phone, called Don James at Nintendo and said, I found our Mario. And mine was the only tape that he sent up, and that was 20 years ago, and I still haven't stopped talking yet, as you can tell.
So what was your how would you have appeared then? What was the first sort of incarnation of Mario? Was that in a video game format, or was it as part of one of the TV shows?
Well, it was a real-time animation system that we used at Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, I think, for the first time, and right. then Chicago, and back in the old days of two shows. And I had a hidden camera and a hidden microphone, so I could see people walking by, and they could see the head of Mario, and I could float him around the screen and then put images on the screen. And so I would see them and say, hello there. Oh, look, you got the red hat like a Mario. I love a red hat. And what? You're talking to me? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, you're looking nice. How you been today? You know, and I start a dialogue and start talking. And then lo and behold, one day I got a call from Bill Trennan at Nintendo and said, we're going to put Mario's voice in a game. Can you come up to Seattle? And I said, of course. And that was for Mario 64 in 1996, I think. Mm. It was the first time, and it was a magical day where, for the first time, seeing a Mario script and seeing Mario videos that we were going to animate, animations that we would put voice to, and doing all this live action, and it was so exciting and so fun. You know, okie dokie, let's go. Mamma mia, thank you very much for playing my game. And the infamous, wow! You know, all these things. And one of my favorites, of course, was when you leave the remote controller and he's waiting to play. And, you know, it's like, come on, come on, come on. And then all of a sudden he falls asleep. And, spaghetti, ravioli, mamma mia. We had such a great, great time and great adventure. And every time recording Mario games is so much fun. It's just such an incredible joy.
My sort of big year of playing on the N64 was 1997, so I would have been 15 years old at that time. And of course, there was Mario 64, and then with that came, there would have been Mario Kart, there was a Mario Tennis game, there was Mario Golf. So actually, since that, how many games have you been involved in total now?
You know, that is a great question, Mick, and I honestly don't know. I think I've recorded well over 50 games, Mario games, but I think more than that. I don't know.
I mean, it's incredible.
A lot of fun.
I must say, one of sort of Mario's catchphrases, I'll do my own impression here, it's very embarrassing, but it goes along the lines of, woohoo! Has now got an island named after it. The Wii Sports Resort Island is now named Woohoo Island. Presumably, woohoo! That's because of something that you said, probably quite randomly in front of a microphone, may have been 10, 15 years ago.
Yes, it's true. It's just the character just comes out that way. I love Mario. You know, he is just the perfect everyman, and I think that Mr. Miyamoto is such an incredible genius to create an everyman, a plumber who falls in love with a princess and spends his life rescuing her. It's so a wonderful theme that just I think will go on forever.
And it's strange that you came out with that particular voice because, like you say, I mean, he's an Italian plumber from Brooklyn, but based in a game which is actually heavily sort of Japanese-based. You're an American with a French surname as well. I mean, it's like all the fates came together to create that particular voice.
It really is. And what an incredible joy and honor for me for 20 years to be able to play this character and to play Wario and Luigi and Waluigi and Baby Luigi and Baby Mario. Wahoo! Just each one. Nintendo's been so great. Each time a new character has come out, they've said, well, do a voice for this or do a voice for that, and given me the opportunity to go and play some more. It's just absolutely such a fun, fun time.
I mean, Wario, he must be great fun to play.
Oh, yeah. Have a rotten day. I'm such a stinker. Yahoo!
So you were doing the trade show, as you say, sort of, well, back in the 90s. Now you've got games like, well, WarioWare, Smooth Moves, things like that. Just spin-offs, which are actually nothing like those original concepts that you're probably involved in the first place.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, a tribute to the genius of Nintendo's great people, that they create the DS and all of a sudden revolutionize the gaming industry again. And then the Wii that revolutionizes it. And all of a sudden, games are going out for everyone. And it's interesting. I was on a plane a couple of weeks ago, and I have a briefcase that has Wii on it, and a flight attendant said, oh, look, you have a Wii. I have a Wii. And I said, oh, great. You know, isn't it fun? Oh, yeah, I do Wii Fit. It's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. What do you do at Nintendo? And I said, well, I do the voice of Mario and some of the characters. Oh, I've heard of Mario. I was thinking actually about getting a Mario game. Is there anyone you could recommend? And it was just so cute to me because the idea that there's somebody who, you know, is sort of my age, has never played a Mario game in their life, and all of a sudden they're going to be playing Mario Kart very soon.
Yeah, very, very strange times we're living, that people can now own Nintendo consoles and not own a seminal Mario title. But there's another one in the offing. It comes out on the 20th of November. It's the Wii version of the DS game, New Super Mario Brothers. Although we have to say, this is a brand new game. It's the classic 2D adventure, but there's a slightly different element to it. And we've got the cooperative and the competitive play modes as well. Can you sort of give people a flavour of why this game is maybe a little bit different to the DS game, and how it's very much different to maybe Super Mario Galaxy?
Well, I'll tell you, honestly, Mick, this game, I was just playing it before we started talking. It is the most fun game. I can't believe it. Every time I do a Mario title and I play the game, it's like, wow, this is fun. And Mario Galaxy is one of those games that is just like, oh my goodness. My whole body was tingly the first time I played that game. And this last E3, I got to touch this game, and now I've been playing this game, the new Super Mario Brothers for a Wii, and it is so much fun. It's just over the top. I think it's as you said, the Christmas title. It's the perfect game. You can play yourself. You know, of course, the princess has been kidnapped by Bowser, and Mario's got to save her. But Mario, Luigi's in the game, and a yellow toad and a blue toad. And you can play completely cooperatively in this two-dimensional world, the scrolling screen, the platform. You can play completely competitively. And I can manage to get through there, not being a great gamer, but a somewhat competent one. I can sort of manage myself, but and if I have a friend and I pick him up and we use the little helicopter hat and fly, or hop on Yoshi and go, or, you know, I can do this. But when other people are cooperating, it's amazing how fast I can go. When somebody's competing with me, they're always so much better than me. I'm over and over again, you know? It's so fun.
I forget what year it must have come out now. There used to be a game on the Mega Drive called Streets of Rage 2, and it was like a side scroller, and there would be two of you, and you'd play cooperatively. But actually, you could also fight each other during the game as well. And you would always start out, yeah, let's do this game together. The two of us will take on different enemies. And if one of you, you know, threw a punch that went the wrong way, which hit the person you were supposed to be playing with, all hell would break loose. And you would end up actually having a big sort of scrap on screen with the people who were supposed to be your teammates. is that a possibility in New Super Mario Brothers Wii?
Well, you don't have a big scrap, but you definitely compete in so many ways. And it's interesting, if you cooperate, there are certain things that you can find that you can't find if you're competing. But if you're competing, there's a certain level of craziness that you can only get in this game. It's hilarious.
And it's out on November the 20th. So it's prime time, isn't it, for that Christmas rush?
It really is. And I think that you can pre-order at game stores right now. So that's doubly exciting. But I think it's just a great game. It's going to be so much fun. And it's got, actually, there is another feature that I love that is called, which is good for someone like me, the dynamic help system. And it's the first time ever, if you keep getting stuck in a level, you can get help, and it will show you how to get through the level and help you through the level. You don't quite get credit for that, but then, you know, the next time you go through the game, you can do that level because you'll remember how to get there.
Ah, right. Interesting stuff.
And it has a penguin suit.
And a propeller suit. And different Yoshis.
And different Yoshis, absolutely.
I cannot wait to play it. There's a whole host of sort of other Mario titles around at the moment. I know my girlfriend is really into the March of the Mini series. She's really excited by that. I know we've got Super Mario Galaxy 2 is on the way as well. What's your involvement in that? Is that any different to what you've already done for Mario Galaxy?
You know, I can't tell anything about those other games that are coming out there, but I can promise that they are going to be absolutely fantastic and amazing. You know, the magic of Mr. Miyamoto is it's exponentially growing with each game. I mean, Galaxy was over the top. This Mario Brothers Wii is just absolutely crazy fun, and Galaxy 2 is just going to knock your socks off.
Great stuff. Well, when we announced that you were going to be appearing on the podcast, we put out on our Twitter feed that you were going to be here and asked people to get in contact. A lot of people, I was quite surprised actually, although thinking about it, I'm not. We're talking about Luigi's Mansion. Were you the voice for Luigi as part of Luigi's Mansion, the GameCube title, one of the first titles, in fact, available on the Nintendo GameCube?
Oh, yeah, that's an Eggman title. Ho ho!
And Luigi did this fantastic thing where the music would play like then. Dun, 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 dun. But actually, Luigi yourself would actually go, ho, 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 ho.
And that was so fun. And Mario, Luigi, get me out of here.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Charles, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I truly mean that. And you wouldn't believe the number of people who've been in contact with us to say, wow, how on earth have you managed to get Charles on the show? So we really appreciate you speaking to us. We really look forward to playing new Super Mario Brothers. I don't think any of us will now be able to listen to Mario, Luigi, Waluigi, any of those characters without actually thinking now of your voice itself and where those voices came from. It seems so strange now that they come from one man.
Wow, thank you, Mick. It's such an honor and such a joy, and what a pleasure to talk with you and to all your fans of your show. Thank you so much for playing my game. Wahoo!
Hey, pray silence for Charles Martinet. What an absolute superstar. It was an absolute pleasure to speak to him. He's also done a couple of things for us as well, so I'll play a couple of them now. Here's one.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo! And you're listening to A Link to the Cast, Mario's favorite. Woohoo!
Brilliant.
Awesome Get stuff. Him. And also, of course, he mentioned that he did the voice of Wario as well, so we couldn't not do this.
Hello, it is me, Wario. You're listening to A Link to the Cast. Have a rotten day. I'm such a stinker.
Mick, did you manage to, because I unfortunately, tragically, couldn't be there for this interview. Did you get him saying our names? Because that would make a small, sad man very happy.
Would it? Would it really?
Hello, it's me, Mario. Hoo-hoo. Hey, Mick. Hey, Rick. Hey, Brian. Thank you so much for talking to me. And hello to all of my friends at the Link to the Cast. Wahoo!
Ah, super.
Sweet.
That's excellent
awesome,
stuff.
Man. Oh, I'm well impressed.
I wonder how many people, because I said to a few people various places, I was like, I'm quite excited because I might be getting the chance to interview Charles Martinet next week. And they're all like, who? And then as soon as you go, Mario, they go, oh, right, that's brilliant. So he's kind of like one of the most famous and yet most anonymous. I wouldn't know what he looks like.
Okay, so we've got three reviews coming up. I'm going to be looking at Professor Layton and, the mystery surrounding Pandora's Box, which is his brand new title. Rick's going to be looking at Band Hero, and Brian Shell's looking, instead of looking at an Xbox 360 game, he's looking at another DS game, actually. It's going to be Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. Quite looking forward to hearing that. If you listened last month, you'll know that I was weighing up between two possible reviews. The first was one I was really looking forward to. It was Scribblenauts, which is this exciting new title from the DS, where essentially you have a character who has to perform a number of tasks. The way to perform these tasks is to essentially write down anything, any noun in the world, and things will come down and help you. Things will appear if you want to climb up a tree, maybe writing the word ladder, a ladder will appear. If you need to get something from the top of a tree, type in axe, chop down the tree. Maybe you want to get something from the top of the tree, you want to get a pterodactyl to swoop you up there and grab it for you. You can do all that in Scribblenauts. So what a great game. What a great idea for a game.
You can do all that if you can spell pterodactyl.
And the DS screen as well.
Yeah, really? I'm going to struggle with that one. Does it begin with a P?
It's a
pterodactyl.
Yes. Yeah. And that, to me, is a fantastic concept for a game. I was really looking forward to play it.
Sound brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's the most frustrating game I've ever played, ever. It was one of them where I really wanted it to be, like, brilliant. And it's not. It's so infuriating. A number of things happen throughout, which just make you think, this is not going to be enjoyable for any longer than a 20-minute period. First of all,
that's
Brian's agreeing with me.
Yeah, that's how long I played for it before I went, Nah.
It looks so charming.
Yeah,
as well,
there are two things. I'll describe the two things which I found infuriating. First of all, he's the character to control it himself. He's your little character. He's on the screen. You tap the part of the screen that you want him to run to. But say, for instance, you're tapping on an item on the screen. You tap slightly to the left. Your blokey just goes, running across the screen, into a river, into a fire, anything like that. So first of all, he's really difficult to control. Second of all, and this is the most annoying thing, say you pick a ladder. So you've got a ladder, you think, right, I want to use this ladder to climb up somewhere. If you walk into the ladder, which, as I say, is quite easy to do because it's hard to control, you knock the ladder light over on its side. And then you can't then pick it up again. You have to sort of keep walking in the hope that you then knock it back into the right shape.
Not summon another ladder.
You have to delete it and then summon another ladder, but that kind of ruins your chance of getting on par for the number of items.
And you can do things like you'll have a boulder, which the mechanics of a boulder, you think that will stay and it won't move, but it doesn't. It gets knocked around and flipped over. It's like, how is that happening? So they've got all these items, and I failed, and I know a lot of people have tried to pick things that aren't in the game. I failed to do that. Everything that I typed in came in, including a Noki and a pterodactyl. But Noki, don't ask me why.
Did you have immediate imagination seizure when you first picked up? You thought, I can type any object in. The first object that comes to brain, to brain. That's a good example.
Yeah.
The first thing, is like...
crate. I want to smash a crate.
Cup.
Nice.
I'd immediately had those problems.
The most imaginative thing I came up with was clone, and I got a clone of my own character, which I used in one thing. So there are many, many ways, and I think if you can get over the control issues, you might enjoy it a little bit more. But for me, it was too fiddly, and it's already quite fiddly in the fact that you're typing in words like pterodactyl in the hope that'll sort of work in your favour. So that in its own way is quite fiddly. Mm. But for it to be uncontrollable, as well, not uncontrollable, but very difficult to control, really made me think, you know what, I'm not interested in this game, I'm going to stop playing.
I tell you what, I thought it was fundamentally flawed. It's a brilliant idea, and the amount of programming that has gone into it, I dread to think how long people have sat there just thinking up words and thinking up, you know, them creating little, little graphical representations of them to fit in. But it's a game that sells itself on use your imagination to solve the problems. However, because you're kind of using someone else's interpretation of your imagination, if that makes sense. So you wish up an object, but it doesn't do what you wanted it to do.
Yeah, I mean, do you have to have a pterodactyl? Couldn't you use a kite or whatever to knock something out of the tree?
Yeah,
or
you could
summon an eagle instead.
Then you might find, I'm going to get a ladder for that, but the ladder isn't tall enough to do the thing you want to do. So then the plane's too big and it doesn't fly properly, and then you knock it over and it's back and you can't get in it anymore, and it's just a big bag of frustrating mess, which is a shame because it was such a brilliant idea.
I think the second one will be a lot better, because I think they've done the groundwork now. I think they've done all they need to do, and they just need to get the gameplay right, which actually should be quite straightforward, I think.
Yeah, well, I think in the end it seemed like a tech demo in search of a game. I don't think that there's actually enough there in the game of just being put in a situation and saying, think of an object to solve this. I don't think that's enough.
It sounds more like, think of the object we're thinking of to solve this problem.
And that's
not really so fun.
And you can tell because it gives you scores on how well you think. Because like if you just chop down a tree with an axe, you get a lowish score. If you chop it down with a chainsaw, you get a better score. If you summon a beaver, then you get a really high score. So it's like, it does kind of reward lateral thinking, but at the same time, as imaginative as it is, you're kind of thinking inside someone else's box.
Yeah, you're second guessing what you think that they think you should do.
Yeah.
If you want to know what will make me stop playing that game, it would be Professor Layton. The new title, Pandora's Box, which is we've talked on the cast before about how much we enjoyed Professor Layton as a game and as a series. There are a number of elements, if you remember, I think it's episode 2B or something like that of the podcast, where we talked about some of the annoying elements about the series. For instance, people find maybe the music isn't to their taste, or the characters' voices are a little bit annoying. Well, guess what? There's more music and there's more characters' voices in this one. And
please,
you know what?
I quite liked it. Please tell me there's more tortured accordion throughout the whole thing.
There's lots of accordion.
It's exactly the same
tedious
accordion.
10-second loops that
there's
go
lots
round
of,
and round.
Oh, Hello, Professor.
I think I've got it.
Yeah, Luke and Leighton are back. They have a couple of characters in tow, which I won't mention here for fear of ruining it, and certainly ruining if you haven't played the back end of the last game. It's more of the same, basically. You are on a journey. You're trying to find clues to unravel a mystery. This one is related to Pandora's box, the Elysian box, basically, which he is looking for because it has been related to him that somebody has died. And how does that work its way into the story? You'll find out. Number of characters from the previous games are there. I won't spoil anything by saying that Inspector Chelmy's there. Of course, he doesn't
brilliant introduction.
He doesn't recognise the two characters for reasons I won't go into. For fear of ruining the first game, if you've not played it.
Is it that they're all... It's all right, I'll drop the spoiler alert in. We did it enough in the individual podcast.
Yeah, so... but yeah, it's very good. It's got more and more puzzles. 150 are out there. There are a couple of annoying elements to it. For me, the puzzles in this one are a little bit wordier than they were in the first. I think there's a few of the more sort of simple, logical, lateral thinking... questions which there were in the first title. I think they've almost thought, oh, we've used all those up. So there's a lot more slightly complicated ones. So you really have to get the brain in gear. What you do have, though, is this little memo option. So you can bring like a little screen down over your DS on the bottom screen and sort of write over the top of that. So you can sort of use that to maybe make a notes, annotation, things like that, which for me, that helped a little bit because the questions are a little bit more wordy. I think that overall, though, it's a very exciting title. I quite enjoyed it. What I didn't like about it, there's a really annoying section to it where you have to make tea for people. And it's really annoying. And I know, Rick, you picked up and played that. Did you get in as far as making the tea for characters?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that frustrated me about that is that you never know quite what tea the person that you want to make it for wants. So then you kind of hash together something that you think they might want, and then they just say no, and you can't make it for them again. You can't actually finish that.
Yeah, it's
so that really annoyed me.
Yeah,
really,
I think it's a bit of a miss, that one. There are a number of different mini games. You remember in the last one, you were rebuilding a dog. I don't think we were ruining anything by saying that. And this one, you have to make a camera. And also has this tea game. And there's a couple of other things in related to a hamster, bizarrely, with like a New York accent, which is a little bit bizarre. Doesn't quite sit in, I don't think, with the rest of the adventure.
No.
But it's Professor Layton. So I quite like it. It's 2 of 3, so it's part 2 of a trilogy. I'm quite looking forward to the third one.
How did you find the camera puzzles, though? Because once you've completed the camera, you get to do a few other sort of side puzzles as well.
Mick's not a completist. He won't have done that.
No, you know what? I've not done that. I've not worked that far, but I was looking online at a number of people who were talking about the tea puzzles, because apparently if you do all the tea things, that unlocks more puzzles as well. Mm. And I thought, you know what? I can't be bothered going around making tea for people. So I might, I've talked before, I'm not a hoarder. So they might be the ones which I actually don't go to.
But the camera unlocks another sort of subset of puzzles, and that is, oh my God, it's tear your eyes out frustrating at times. Sometimes you'll get it right first time or whatever, but then some of the other ones in there are really tough. I don't want to spoil it, but obviously it's related to the camera. Once you've completed it, it'll all happen. But hey, yeah, nuts hard.
But what would make...
Nuts hard.
Nuts hard.
Nuts hard. What would make you stop playing it, Mick?
I would say at this stage,
yeah,
a bad cough.
Oh,
that's all it
poorly.
Was. I've been ill for. I'm always ill. People who listen to us will just think Mickey's always ill, but I have been ill again. And I was playing just yesterday. I had a day off because I didn't pull a sickie. I was genuinely ill, and I was playing it, and I was playing it, I was playing it, and I had this cough was rumbling on in my throat. And in the end, I thought, you know what, I'm going to put the game down because it's really doing my head in. And then I stopped. So the thing that made me stop playing Professor Layton and the Pandora's Box. Was a bad cough, which is a bit sad. But actually, if you like the first game, then I would recommend it. If you've not played the first game, play the first game, Curious Village, first. Play that, and then move on to this, because it does feel like a little bit of a step up. The animations, there's a few more of them. The puzzles are slightly more difficult, and it's a little bit more of an advanced game. But top marks, Nintendo, well done.
Good stuff. Well, to complete a kind of DS trilogy, then, now, I have been playing Mario and Luigi, I can't get the title right. Bowser's Inside Story or Bowser's, the Inside Bowser's?
Bowser's Inside Story.
Side Story.
Either way, right, doesn't sound right.
There's a bit of wordplay in the title there because essentially Mario and Luigi get swallowed by Bowser.
It's in a space. Yeah. Oh, dear.
And they have to go around inside him doing various things to help him in the outside world do various things. That's kind of, I don't think I'm giving too much away when I say essentially some bad person has come along and kidnapped the princess.
Oh, what?
So I know it's a bit breaking with tradition in there. Or actually, no, that's not necessarily true. It's just a little bit more complicated than that. Bowser has swallowed the princess. But it's essentially,
they're all in there.
Yeah, they're all in there. If you played any of Superstar Saga or Partners in Time, which is the last one, it's the same game. If you haven't played on the DS one of these ones, it's like Paper Mario. Not like Paper Mario Wii, that was a little bit different, but it's basically turn-based combat RPG. It's really good. That's yeah. What else can you say about it? It's massive in scale. I haven't got anywhere near finishing yet, I don't think. It can be a little bit repetitive if you don't like the sort of turn-based combat thing, but it's just got all the invention of Nintendo all the way through it. Every single boss that comes along, there's a brand new little technique that you can use to beat it. Some of it's kind of familiar. Sometimes, you know, at times it gets down almost into a little rhythm game where you're bouncing things back in time with the beeps coming in. You've got, you know, it's using all four buttons on the DS, so you know, to control different things.
Paper Mario had that kind of rhythm turn-based combat thing, didn't it? When you got your special moves and you had to do them in time to sort of maximize the effectiveness. I thought it was a really good little feature.
It's really good. It's very simple. It's not, you know, hardcore RPG at all. You know, you're building stats as you go through, but it kind of
doesn't.
You
don't need to know that, do you?
Yeah.
You can just carry on with it.
You could just carry on. And it's just incredibly, really good. And it's just massive. The thing, though, that has dogged this entire series, and I have a feeling is going to dog it again, is that just the boss battles can go on too long.
Oh, you mentioned this last time, yeah.
Though it's not as bad as, I think it was Superstar Saga that I just ended up giving up on after I'd been battling one boss for about 45 minutes, and they kept recharging and getting stronger, and you're just going back and using item after item after item, and you're doing the same thing over and over again. It's different if, like, normally the Nintendo signature is the fact that bosses all have a weak spot, and once you've worked out that weak spot, then you can defeat them really quickly. Because it's kind of, I think these have been made by an outside team, sort of supervised
RPG'd
Nintendo.
It up.
Yeah, they've made it just a little bit long at times, and you just think, oh, I'm a bit fed up with that.
Who is it Square Enix?
Do you know? I think it's
Alpha Dream.
Maybe. I could be 100% wrong on that. So
we will quote you on it.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll just check. I'll go, it's
Alpha Dream.
And then I'll edit that bit out when I've looked it up. And I'll just re-record my new bit and no one will be able to tell.
No, but then leave this bit entirely in. It'll be like sinister, really bizarre.
Yeah, you'll be really odd. No one will be able to tell from the completely different quality of microphone that I was done in.
So you're saying, now you're going to have to cut that out, aren't you?
Yeah.
You can't get me to say whatever it was.
And I'll just go, don't swear. Don't call them that, Rick. And I'll just beep that bit out. And people will think you're a foul mouth.
Brian Schaff, right. What would make you stop playing Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story?
Do you know, not much at the moment, because I tend to play it in bed, and what essentially makes me stop playing is that it's like, oh god, it's quarter to midnight, I should really get some sleep. So that tends to make me stop playing it, or just frustration at the boss battles, but then you come back and you just do it the next day. So good, get it. Yay!
Excellent stuff. Ricardo, you're taking a look at Band Hero. Now, you were going to be looking at a number of different titles, but watch out, there's going to be some burning satires coming in. You've fallen foul of the postal strikes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, I think the postal strike is going to even delay this podcast. So if you listen to it now, that'll be why it's a little bit later than you might have been expecting. So, you know, just blame the Royal Mail.
Are we affected by Royal Mail?
Well, yeah, there's an embargo on the Band Hero review, so we're going to have to delay when we put this online. So yeah, I'm doing Band Hero. I was going to do Tekken, they sent it on 360, and they sent it too late anyway. Yeah. I was going to do DJ Hero, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, I cannot wait for that.
That is coming, but again, delayed by the posters, right?
Have you got that for the PS3 or the Xbox?
Yeah, buddy. Have you seen the turntable? That is magic, that thing. I was going to do Pro Evo, because that's a massive, massive release, and all of them delayed in the postal strike. So luckily, we got Band Hero just in time.
Just for the record, though, you are going to give Brian your copy of Tekken on the 360.
He's already got it.
I've already got it. I've snaffled it upstairs this morning.
I've already given him a little character tip because he says he's a button masher when it comes to fighters as well. So Eddie Gordo's the man for him. But yeah, I'm a bit jealous of that, to be honest.
Okay.
I really wanted Tekken.
Band Hero. It's Guitar Hero for wimps, is it not?
Yeah, it's basically Pop Hero. And because it's just really a pink and blue Guitar Hero. You know, I think the idea of it is really just to get more people playing the Guitar Hero franchise, which is probably a good thing, you know, open it up to families. But I think there's been a bit of an issue really with Band Hero, and they got a little bit mixed up. It's because the track listing. Now, if you're going to make a Guitar Hero for kids and girls and things, then, you know, you're going to need your Alpha Beats and your Spice Girls, which are all in there, and they've got Evanescence, you know, for the teen emos or whatever. But then it's like they've kind of run out of ideas for songs to put in there as well. So they've got all those, you know, really, really cheesy poppy acts sat next to like NERD singing Rockstar, which isn't the best of, you know, Band Hero-esque songs anyway, because it's all rap. And Big Country, I mean, you know Big Country, don't you, mate?
Yeah. Which track is it by Big Country?
In a Big Country, of course.
In fact, that's a Guitar Hero track, really.
Wait, exactly, yeah. And that's my point, you know. How can you have Big Country next to the Spice Girls or Roy Orbison? He's in there. What the hell? So it's like, you know, I think Band Hero is really made for this kind of new wave of like Disney musical releases. The things like Miley Cyrus or whatever her alter ego is called.
The Jonas Brothers.
Or the Jonas Brothers. Yeah, yeah, exactly. All this kind of Disney High School Musical. But of course, they can't be put into Band Hero because it's not a Disney game. So it just feels like they kind of got half the track listing.
It's same difference on that.
No.
I don't think even Same Difference would want to have to play their own songs. What's it? I think, though, you're selling it a bit short here, though, because one of the key things for me about Guitar Hero or Rock Band, because they're the same game, as discussed last time, is you end up playing tracks that you have either never heard or you never thought you'd like, and suddenly it becomes your favourite thing. Anyway,
give me an example of that.
Well, a little shiver runs up my spine now. Every time I hear the introduction to Hotel California, and I never thought that would ever happen because it's simply one of the best ones to play.
See, that is a great song, and to go back onto the old In a Big Country, I actually really enjoy playing that, but when you've got a track list numbering like 75 songs and it's meant to be sort of targeted at the teens and things, it just sort of grates a little bit, and then I think, well, how many times can I play Big Country, you know, to keep me entertained? And to be honest, it's maybe like twice over the course
of
2 hours.
What's the compatibility like across the board?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll use any of the instruments. In fact, they've released a new model drum kit for it, which looks very swish, and it's a bit better practically. It hasn't got quite so wide rims around the drum pad, so you don't have that annoying smack when you accidentally hit just a bit wide of the mark every now and then. But you know, it really is just Guitar Hero Pop Edition, but missing half the pop.
What will make you stop playing Band Hero on PS3?
Guitar Hero 5 again. I'll just go back to that.
Yeah. Exactly. Have you now managed to download all the tracks from the... Well, not all the tracks, but the selection of tracks from the previous ones?
No, I've not. I keep either going back to World Tour or just play Judith by A Perfect Circle. And sort of emo rocking out in my living room. Love it. It's rubbish.
Well, for me, it's still Make It With You and Wanna Be In LA. Those are my two big tracks.
Great
on
tracks.
That. That's very good.
Excellent. So, that was quite a podcast, that wasn't it? Charles Martinet.
Yeah, rammed.
The voice of Mario. What an absolute honour and a pleasure. When I spoke to him just off air, I actually had a little bit of a lump in my throat. I genuinely felt moved by the fact that this is a guy who's been appearing in games. He was saying, obviously, his first Mario voice session was for like a conference animation. Then he said, we're going to do Mario 64. Now, Mario 64 was when I was, 14, 15 years old. So that's like seminal time for a young man growing up.
He's been doing like game audio for as long as audio in games has been worth doing. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
I'm just delighted with that. Charles Martinet, top man, thank you very much. And he was there to promote new Super Mario Brothers Wii, which is out 20th of November. So depending on when you're listening to this, hopefully we'll be able to, we'll have a copy in the post. Whether or not it will arrive, we shall wait and see.
Have I got my, what is it you're getting for me? I've forgotten now.
Yeah, it's arrived.
Yay!
It's not arrived.
He does look very excited right now.
No, that's the Ballad of Gay Tony.
That's not arrived. That one's not arrived.
What's arrived?
Oh, I forget now. It's the postal strike throwing me off. I'll tell you what has arrived.
Yeah.
The answer to the headline competition. The way the headline competition works. I've sort of sickened myself there with the link. The headline competition works like this. I come up with a scenario. You have to imagine if it happened in real life, what would the headline be? It's a bit of a pun down. It's a bit of a pun fest. This was this week's. It's deliberately terrible, just to sort of make Brian Shelf smile, hopefully. The joint in the middle of your leg gets its own health and well-being title. The joint in the middle of your leg gets its own health and well-being title. Brian Shelf, what is your answer?
I think you got it before me. He's going to do it now. It doesn't look happy.
Knee fit.
That's
just awful.
Rick, you got that as well, though. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just made a note, and then I saw it in Brian's eyes. I just got it out of it there.
Knee fit. It's coming to a Nintendo near you.
To be honest, I don't think that is the worst one you've done. I think there's been far more sort of tangential and just a bit more rubbish ones. That's a bit more obvious.
Okay. I think essentially what you're doing is swimming around in a sewer. And which of these is the worst turd?
Yeah. That's a good.
Well, I shall get my Speedos on next episode and we shall do it all again. Mailbag, just very quickly, following us on Twitter at a link to the cast, Sidewinder 101, GoldenEye 2010, any news, boys, it's all it says. We touched on that a little earlier. It may well be a publicity stunt. I think we would have known more about a GoldenEye game if it was in development, certainly if it was in development to be made and released for less than 14 months time.
Exactly. Let's hope it isn't true as far as I'm concerned, otherwise it's just going to further taint the GoldenEye name.
Okay, Lee in Belfast, FIFA 10, great game. I know you don't like footy games. What would make me stop playing this? I like this. You see what he's done here? He's just done a review himself. He sent it in. FIFA 10, great game. I know you don't like footy games. What would make you stop playing, or what would make me stop playing? Lee in Belfast says pancakes.
There you go. Nice. So, savoury or sweet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't say, but maybe Lee in Belfast will get back to
us. Classic lemon and sugar.
But yeah, FIFA 10. So there you go. Great game, according to Lee. And hey, guys, best controller. This is in relation to the next update podcast, which will be coming to you very soon. Sega Bass Fishing Wand on Dreamcast. Marky in Liverpool.
I remember seeing
that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was an amazing little piece of kit. Yeah.
It was genuinely like a little fishing rod.
Yeah, absolutely. Proper reel and everything. I mean,
is that the best controller of all time, though?
Well, I don't know, because it's a bit limited to what game you can use it on. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But no, nice and retro, man.
Excellent stuff. The next time you hear from us, it will be an update podcast. It will be the greatest controller of all time. You can keep your emails coming in to us. Just go to www.alinktothecast.co.uk and you can email us through there. You can also follow us on Twitter as well. We never did get that Facebook page set up. Let's do that. Let's do that very soon. I've been Mick.
I've been Brian.
And I've been Rick.
Yeah, I've vanished off Facebook, so don't try and find me.
And the final word goes to this man.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Hoo-hoo, Mick, Rick, Brian. You guys, you number one. Link to the cast. Wahoo!
I think you need to do more than make your dinner, don't you?
One second, sorry. I've just got to do a big cough. Sorry about that.
I think I can beat that one. I think I can beat that one. Hang on.
Can I chip in with a bit of a... Oh, dear. It must be winter. It must be getting there. It's horrid. Look at us all.
That would be disgusting.